And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Tuesday. I'm your host,
Travis. Tuesday.
Thank you for making us part of your day. That's right. It is a Masters Tuesday. We have made it the first major championship of the year. The best players in the world, no matter what tour you play on, PGA Tour, LIV, the Asian Tour, DP World Tour, they're going to gather this week, at least the ones that have qualified. That's a whole other discussion, the official world golf ranking. But they're there, Augusta National. It's in great shape. And guess who else is there? Our man at Read the Line, Keith Stewart, joining us from Butler Cabin, or no?
Just right next door.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Butler Garage. It's
how you doing, buddy?
Yeah. I was on a show earlier and they were like, "Where are you?" I said, "Do you think they allow betting talk on Augusta National grounds?" Like, what do I look like, Jim Nance? Come on.
Hey, I got to ask you, did you stay up and watch the NCAA finals last night at 9:20 tip?
I was up last night because I was traveling here, but I was not. I was listening to the game on the car driving from Atlanta to out here to Augusta.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, hey, kudos to UConn. It's like Scotty, and they can putt. You know, they're just killing people. So,
yep.
It's great.
They are six natties now. And it was fun. You know, look, the basketball, it's funny. I love basketball when I was young. I was a big basketball player, more so than golf. And growing up in the Northwest, like, we had the Supersonics and they took that away from us. And so I kind of got away from basketball, you know, and then the NBA, of course, has changed so much in the way that they play. And that's a bit of a turnoff. And,
yeah.
You know, Gonzaga is a, you know, it's a good program, not a great one because it hasn't won a natty yet. They were close, but this year I found myself for the first time watching more basketball. And I think the reason was Caitlin Clark. I really do. I mean, she drew me in. I loved watching the women's game. She was just so different and unique in the way that she played and her range and shooting the ball. So I really enjoyed the, just the college basketball together, both the men's and the women. And I credit Caitlin Clark for drawing me in.
I mean, you're one of many.
Yeah.
She's electric, you know,
she is.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it, a lot of good things going on in women's sports right now. I mean, Nelly just won her fourth tournament in a row. Four in a row. And then they're off this week, but they go to their first major championship of five for the season, for the Chevron Championship down there in Woodlands, Texas. And, by all means, I don't know what her number will be when it opens next Monday, but it'll be pretty low. I don't know if it'll be 4-1.
Well, for those listening, we thank you for being here. Today's podcast brought to you by Balcolf Simulators, glowing in the backdrop here in the studio. We've been packed, tons of lessons, club fitting with True Spec. I actually just shot a podcast before we came on air. It was just me. And I went through a bunch of stuff that has been on my mind in the world of instruction. So I just did this big brain dump in with instruction on all kinds of patterns and social media dialogue that we've been having. So I'm going to share that tomorrow before the Masters kicks off. Look out for that.
Nice.
But yeah, it's been crazy here. Super excited about golf in general. As it pertains to the amateur game, I know it's been a bit of a downer in the pro game, everything that's going on between PGA and Tour and LIV, but we're coming together this week and it's going to be all good vibes. All good vibes for me this week, except for one, which we'll get to here in the show. I've got a few things that I need to say, and we'll get to that later in the show. But before we get to the Masters and all those good vibes, let's go back to Valero real quick. Valero Texas Open. My picks were not good last week. I apologize, folks. I'm the first to admit when I have a bad week, and last week was not a good week for me. But I come out of last week on Sunday, and I find myself really drawn to Akshay Bhatia, and I have now for a while. And we've talked about him, and I've touted him in his game and his maturity at the age of 22. He gets his second win, and this is a special dude here, guys. This is a special young man, you know, out with some of the guys that went to the LIV, in with Ludvig Åberg, Akshay Bhatia, and others. Two wins at the age of 22. That's impressive stuff.
Yeah, there's no doubt. The first time I ran into Akshay was at the 2017 President's Cup, Junior President's Cup, mind you. He was playing at a local New Jersey golf course called Plainfield Country Club. And there was another kid on the team that I was there to see, a family friend of mine. And here's this, you know, left-handed swashbuckling kid that I was like, who is this? Like, what's going on here? I mean, he's like, you know, his waist was like the circumference of a driver shaft, you know, at whatever age he was then, 16 or something like that. He's just electric. And, you know, hey, I mean, he withstood the storm on Sunday. It was pretty unbelievable sweat if you had Akshay in the mid-60s. And kudos to everyone that made it through all of that. And then, man, I feel bad for Denny for dumping it in the creek. But you know what? Somebody's got to win.
I got a swing up on video. I did a little breakdown and posted it on my social yesterday. And, you know, Akshay is really an example of how I think the game has been taught for the last 10 years, the modern swing. When you think about the modern swing, you think about, I think in my mind, a lot of ways where power and accuracy come together. And what I mean by that is really how they use their body. And just real quick, when you look at Akshay here, you know, that change in knee flex, you can see in the second frame there, that window between the knees. Big hip turn. That's different than when I got into the industry 20 years ago. You know, it was turn the upper and resist with the lower. Now, you know, you see these guys, big hip turn. Then you can sit. You go up. Now you can sit. You can squat. You get spacing between your knees. Your upper stays more over your lower. But I think the big league move here is that third frame. You can see the shaft lays down and he's open in the lower. I mean, his right hip is looking back at the camera, his rear end. I mean, that is amazing. That is big league material right there. When you can lay the shaft down, kind of get your lower sitting into the ground, turn, and now from there you just zip that torso through, and he does it in spades. And he was really, I think, taught at a young age to do that. George Gankis did a really good job with him. He's moved on. His current coach is slipping my mind right now. Own Your Game Golf, I think, is the name of his Instagram handle. So I apologize for that, but. He's done a lot of really good things, and he's a very clean ball striker, power, accuracy. He's found some things with that long putter, and he's very mature at the age of 22. I'll be honest. Look, when he was 19, turned pro, I was like, whoa, man, that was a big statement. You know, didn't go to college. I'm gonna play professional golf, took a lot of heat for it, went to the Corn Ferry Tour. His girlfriend at the time was caddying for him. I'm like, what in the hell is this guy doing? This is professional golf. Get a caddy. You know, like I was a little critical of him. And look, he knew what he was doing. He won the Corn Ferry Tour. He's come out to the PGA Tour. He's a young star. He's won twice. You know, all praise to him. Akshay Bhatia wanted to pay that off. And he admitted about this guy right here. I'll play this video before we get to the message. What I say about the video in the past, this is Denny McCarthy right here going through his routine. What was the word that I used when I was talking to Denny on the podcast when I watched this? I said intimidating. This dude, when he gets it going with his putter and he starts going through his routine like this, it's intimidating. The guy is insanely gifted with the putter. 8 birdies on the back nine on Sunday. Are you kidding me? Even Akshay said I was scared because he knows how great of a putter he is. I thought that was brilliant. I love the transparency there. And he just absolutely threw the kitchen sink at him. And they go into the playoff and then knocks it in the water. My God, golf is relentless. Relentless.
And in typical 2024 PGA Tour awesomeness, instead of just throwing a wedge on from 100 yards, Akshay needs to go get taped up and then hit the shot. I mean, come on. You can't make this stuff up.
You can't. You really can't. 8 birdies on the back nine. You go into the playoff, then you fat your wedge into the water. And then before Akshay can hit it, he's got to get his shoulder taped up, like, cause he dislocated it, fist pumping.
Just can't make it up.
All right. Let's move it forward. I forgot my green jacket, damn it. I have a green jacket. I forgot it at home. My wife's out of town. I've been like absolutely hair on fire getting the kids to work or getting the kids to school. I'm trying to get to appointments, and I left the green jacket sitting right there on my stairs. But that's what they win this week, Keith. They win a green jacket, right? And the defending champion brings it back. Yeah, John Rahm. He's got one. Scotty Scheffler's got one. Spieth's got one. There's some others like Rory, and you know, they don't have one. And they want to try to get it this week. I'm gonna give you the floor, buddy. You're there. Sounds like from all the players, it sounds like the course, Augusta National, is playing pretty firm and fast. There's a little weather coming in. What do you anticipate here in the way this is going to play? Is this going to be firmer and faster maybe than what we've seen in years past?
Well, three of the last four have been very wet. You know, 2019 Tiger was wet. Mm-hmm. Scotty's year was a little wet. Last year was very, very wet and cold. So at the end of the day, I think that these guys are looking forward, especially the best players in the world. They're looking for this place to be as firm and fast as it can be. Of course, that does help Scheffler out. But as you walk around, there's definitely some bounce to the ground. This is my sixth or seventh, event of the year, and nothing's had this much electricity. And I've been to WMPO, I've been to the Players, and the Players was well run. It had incredible electricity and everything, but it did not have John Rahm. Did not have Brooks Koepka, you know, and I'm not going to belabor that point, but we have these four events this year. And when we're here, there's just a different sort of vibe. And of course, this is the most well-run tournament in the world. So you combine those two and it's a tradition unlike any other. I could go on at length about what I've seen and what I feel like is happening, but they have the golf course right where they want it. They're well aware that they're going to get almost an inch of rain in a very small period of time. But I also feel like the ground is so hard from what I've experienced so far that it's much like getting rain in a drought. Like it's just going to run off. And then, you know, maybe if the top gets a little bit soft. I mean, so it makes the course longer. You know, it makes spin control even more important when you're hitting into these greens. And then, you know, the greens are going to be firm because they have sub-air systems. So even if the rain ends at noon on Thursday, which is what we're looking at right now, like a rain event from like 4 a.m., 3 a.m. Thursday to like noon on Thursday, even if that's all we get, by Friday a.m., the place is going to be firm and fast and ready to roll. And and the weather looks fantastic for the weekend. And I can't wait for it all to play out.
Yeah. What do you get a little goosebumps here when you listen to this? What do you think of when you hear this song? What comes to mind?
Ooh. First thing that popped into my head right there was Nick Faldo.
Patrick Reed.
No.
Nick Faldo?
At first when you were playing music, I thought you were going to play like Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart. But
the first thing that I think of is Vern Lundquist.
Oh, God. That's a good one. Yes, sir.
I think of Vern.
In Your Light. Oh, man. It's his last one. Vern's last one.
I know.
Yeah.
I love Vern Lundquist. He's been right here in my studio, by the way. He, big Ooh. Georgia guy, came in and did the Georgia Bulldog podcast with some people that do it in here. He is an A-plus individual, Vern Lundquist. Yeah, Faldo's a good one. I think of Freddie Couples.
I don't go there with Freddie as much because he only won one, and he only won one major, you know? Augusta to me is more like Tiger, Jack, Faldo, Seve, you know, guys like that, Phil. Mm-hmm. The guys that have won multiple ones. And
I think of Thursday morning Sandy Lyle being like 3-under through 11 or 12. Like Sandy Lyle's always – in the last 12 years, Sandy Lyle is like 3-under through 12.
We're talking about Sandy Lyle right morning. Now?
Yeah, that's what I think of. I don't know why. It's just where my mind went.
Who cares about Sandy Lyle?
Sergio Garcia, he's in the field this week. Patrick Reed, your boy, he's in the field this week.
Wait a second. Patrick Reed's not my boy. Stop yourself. Right. You're getting a little persnickety this morning. It's the 88th Masters. All right. We don't need to talk about Sandy Lyle. Everyone that's watching this doesn't want to hear about Sandy Lyle. And they know my boy is not Patrick Reed. So let's
go. All right. When I think of Augusta, let's go here. The obviously firm and fast. I want to see firm and fast come the weekend. I really do. And I think they're going to get it there. You know, look, history knowledge we know is important here. You know, I just listened to the Tiger and others that have played here had success. The Phil Mickelson, there's a great social media piece about him talking about the difference between left-handed and right-handed and some of these holes. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
you know, when to be aggressive and when to be conservative. Like you hear that a lot with players that talk here, and they know and they've learned right from the mistakes that they've made over the years past. We know that there's so much undulation here. I've been to Augusta two or three times. You really, TV just does not do it justice at all. How much up and down this golf course is. Very seldom are you getting a flat lie. So to be able to hit different types of shots off of these uneven lies into what we know are some of the most difficult green complexes. And so you add all this up, you start thinking about players, all right, firm and fast. Got a little length here in Augusta. They've added some, number two and others over the years, 13. And, you know, you got to have some length. And you probably need to be able to bring it in with some trajectory, right, Keith? I mean, with some trajectory to what is probably going to be a pretty firm and fast situation.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, if you talk about the three keys that you need at Augusta National, or the three things I'm most focused on, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, we hear so much about trends here and so much, like the Phil piece was great and everything. But I think it's sometimes like enough already. We know what it takes to win at Augusta National. And everybody, we've had to talk about it so many times over the years. And now we keep increasing coverage. And now we have social media coverage. People keep finding more and more things to kind of dig into. But the fact of the matter is that you got to know the golf course, right? There've been three rookies that have won. Rookies lately have been great. Rookies on tour this year have been great. Could this be the year? That's been some of the theme. But when you think about it, three rookies have won. Really only one rookie's won. That's Fuzzy Zeller in 1979. The other two, one was the first. Everyone in the field was a rookie, Horton Smith. And then the second one was Gene Sarazen in 1935, where probably half the field were rookies, right? So, like, I don't count those, right? It happened once in, you know, the other, 86 years or 85 years, whatever the math is on that. So you need course experience. And there's that window between like 4 and 8 times where it seems like a lot of the guys get their first one because they've learned the golf course. And we could go on at length about all the stupid trends that everyone loves to mention, but those trends are true for a reason. And some of them get way too deep into the weeds. But my point is that, like, you have to learn how to play this place. Yep. More so than any other. And for all the things you just spoke about, the second thing you got to do is you got to hit greens in regulation. There's that key number of hitting 50 or more greens in regulation in order to put on a green jacket, right? Well, how do you do that? Well, you know, 73% of your approach shots are coming in from over 150 yards. You got to be a great long iron player. Yes, you have to control trajectory, but I think even more so, you have to control spin because there's a lot of par five short shots coming in, or there's these, you know, shorter par four shots coming in. I mean, yes, I get it. It's super, super long, but the way this place is going to play, these guys are still going to be hitting scoring irons into some of these greens, and you got to be able to control your spin and land the ball in the specific places. And then if you don't, you're going to miss a green from time to time. And that's the third major key, is that this is the most difficult spot on tour around the green.
Yeah.
And when it comes right down to it, you have to be able to chip off of really, really tight lies. You have to be able to play from these bunkers, which are perfectly placed. And, you know, you start to have to contend with these green complexes and the severity of the slopes and everything, and then the lag putting. So, you know, when you take those three things, course history, greens and regulation, and around the green acumen, that's where my head's at. And, you know, that's why Scottie Scheffler's the favorite coming in.
Yep.
He's the best at game planning spots. He always misses in the right spot, and he's been pretty timely lately with his short game and even with his putting.
How much, let me ask you this before we get to some picks here. How much stock do you put into having to score well on these par fives too, right? Because you got to make some hay there, don't you? I mean, number two, the dog leg left, new tee. They're going to force you to sling it around there. The bunker sounds like it's going to come more into play even so. 8, you can kind of reach back and let it go. Just stay out of the bunker on the right. 13, you know, one of the most beautiful holes in golf. They lengthen that out a little bit, dog leg left. And then 15, just a brilliant par five as well. How much do you put into, man, you got to score on those four?
And this goes back to that usual conversation we have, where like that everyone that's there that we're going to talk about are all good par five scorers. Okay. So when you break down the field and you look at the last 10 winners, the average gain on the par fives is like 3.5 strokes against the field. Well, they're gaining 3 strokes on the par threes. So those two don't really separate themselves, but they're gaining triple that, 9+ strokes. Those last 10 winners are gaining 9+ strokes on average on the par fours. Now get it. I get it. There are, Keith, there are more par fours. I know that. But, you know, the last 10 winners have played the par fours like an average of 3 under par. Like, that's the place where you're really going to separate yourself. You know, Rahm and Brooks last year were 1 and 2 in par five scoring. I understand all of those things. But when you look at the top five this year, they're all going to be great. They're all going to survive the par threes. They're going to score on the par fives, and they're going to separate themselves on the par fours. And that's where I really love to dig into, like, okay, how are they going to do that? What types of approach shots? And then how are they going to hit those greens in regulation? And when they do miss, I mean, because, you know, getting through holes like 10 and 11 and number one and, you know, five, I mean, that's what's really going to determine, you know, who's going to win this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's well said. That's really well positioned there on the course breakdown. And we got a lot of newbies playing here. Some that might look, Ludvig is getting some interest from a number of people. Wyndham Clark here, he's obviously elevated his game. This is the first time that he's played here. Talked about Akshay, and there'll be others that we'll get to. All right, let's get into our first look. I'm going to give you the floor, my man, because I know you got one here. He would not tell me who it is. So
hit the mouse button. I'm clicking on your defending champion, Jon Rahm.
Wow. Okay. Yep. He's going to be motivated.
There's no way that that guy, well, you just said that that's part of it, but he has the history. He is extremely motivated. There's something going on there with Spain and Augusta National. And it's true though, right? Okay. Yeah, so since 1980, since Seve came over, right? Think about this for a second, because this is the stuff that happens, right? Around Augusta. The people that all, you know, the trend freaks and everything, like, how about this one? All right. Since 1980, 22 winners from the United States. Great. All right. The second country is Spain with 6. Wow. And the third is England with 4, and Faldo has 3 of those, right? So six Spanish wins, 6 green jackets with 4 different winners. So when you talk about, like, what's being passed down from generations, I mean, Spain is not a global golf giant. Right? They always just seem to have 1 or 2 good players with every generation, but that's about it. Right? It's pretty unique. And then, I mean, Rahm just strokes gain leader there, scoring average leader there, 7 times there, 5 top tens. He's got a green jacket. You know, everyone's going to fight me on Keith. You know, no one's repeated since Tiger, but he did. You know, and so did Nick. So did Jack. And I feel like he's just so motivated right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could hear it in the press conference today, and you just know that, like, he did what he did, and he's not getting the competitive juices going like he wants over there, and he has the green jacket. So when you're going to sit in that beautiful mahogany press room, and you're going to ask him questions like, how are you going to beat Scotty? You know what he's thinking on the inside. He's thinking, wait a second, don't I own the jacket? How are they going to beat me?
Yeah.
And he knows how good he is around there, so – at where you can get him at a plus 1300, and there's guys like Rory lower than him. Oh man, I kind of like it.
Yeah, I do too. And you're not going to get many pushing back. I mean, he's 5 events on LIV. It's tough in the courses they're playing to really get a beat on him. We don't see these guys, on the courses that we're used to seeing. And John hasn't been able to defend some of his tournaments.
Oh yeah.
And so here he is now, coming back to Augusta. Everybody, Scotty, number one player in the world. Scotty's going to win by 8, I saw on Golf Channel yesterday, because he's going to putt well, potentially.
Stop it.
Best tee to green. Scotty. And Jon Rahm's like, okay, gotcha.
Here's another Rahm.
Here's the thing with Rahm, too. Rahm hasn't, like, peaked this year either. It's just been kind of steady. Hasn't won one yet in LIV, but just kind of steady. A lot of good. And so – you can make the argument that he's kind of due to put it all together here too.
I mean, he still leads their tour in birdies, and there's good golfers there, right? Yeah. Everyone's talking about Joaquin Niemann. But one of the things for me of why Rahm has been so successful at Augusta National. Let's play the comp game for a minute, right? What are some great comps on the PGA Tour for ANGC, right? We'll go with Riviera, Rahm, winner. We'll go with Kapalua, Rahm, winner. We'll go with, I don't know, Doral, Rahm, what was fourth over the weekend? I mean, Doral's a great comp for, and that's why everyone should have been really interested in Live Miami. And if you haven't looked, go back and look at that leaderboard. If you weren't taking Doral seriously, look at the winners over the years when the PGA Tour is there for 50 years. Bubba, Tiger, Phil, Patrick Reed. I mean, the list goes on and on of guys that won at Doral and also won a green jacket. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, you got to pay attention to some of those things. If the game suits there, the game suits at Augusta National and vice versa. I can't cross this guy off the list because it's tough to defend.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's well said. All right, so
who you got?
Who else could we go? Golf needs a great story. Yeah. And I think that story is going to happen this week. Grand Slam winner, Mr. Rory McIlroy. Rory, recently, now I've been following Rory and just kind of doing my homework here a little bit, all right? Mm-hmm. And we know Rory's been kind of, you know, a little bit neutral for Rory, just kind of top 20s, you know, as we've seen. Mm-hmm. And his ball striking, his wedge game and this and that. And so he goes and takes a little trip over to Butch. And Butch has a way with these players. There's no doubt that Butch is the best coach to professional golfers to ever live. There's no doubt. What he does is psychiatrist. What he does is amazing in getting them to believe in themselves and getting them to feel good about themselves and getting them to believe that who they are and what they do is good enough. Right. And it may not be about a position. It may not be about an impact. It may not be about a particular curve or this or that. It's just about you, the person, the professional golfer, who you are, what you do. And so I think Rory is benefiting from this. I was very, very encouraged what I saw at Valero, in particularly with his iron game. He's driving the ball like insanely good. Positive 7.4 at Valero approach, short game solid, positive 2 putting. His putting hasn't really been an issue. He's finished second here. He knows how to play Augusta. He almost won it. We get it. None of this is new to Rory. Like, he knows how to play the golf course. He's been there. He's had a chance to win. He gets it. And there's been a lot of pressure. There's no doubt. But what we just talked about coming in, Rory in the Grand Slam, in my mind, is like number 4 or 5 down the list, right? I mean, it's PGA Tour Live. It's Scottie Scheffler, number 1 player in the world. It's defending champion John Rahm. Tiger's in the field. Phil finished 2nd last year. Oh, and by the way, Rory McIlroy has a chance to win the Grand Slam. And so I'm going Rory. I liked what I saw at Valero. I liked that he played leading in, a little bit under the radar. Hey. This season has made no sense whatsoever. Some of you listening right now and said, Travis, you are insane. That's okay. This pick goes against a little bit of some of the model and things that I've ran in the past. So Rory McIlroy, we need it. Golf needs it. Save the day. Grand Slam.
I got two things for you there. One, it'd be a wonderful story. No doubt about it. But first thing is that you're kidding yourself if he's the 5th storyline. He's not. I mean, over on the property, everybody's watching Rory. Everybody. So after Scotty.
Everybody's always watching Rory.
Rory's story number 2 behind Scotty. And then the other thing I'll say is that, hey, Rory can score even with his approach struggles. I mean, he led second behind Sam Ryder in birdies at the Players. You know, a very difficult golf course, and he was scoring. You know, it's just a big miss. You know, what's interesting, you bring up the Butch thing. The last time Rory went and saw Butch was the fall of 2020. And he finished 5th at the Masters behind DJ, and everybody finished 10 shots behind DJ in that fall November Masters, right? The COVID Masters. But, you know, who knows? Maybe they had to talk about what happened back that fall, and, you know, Rory puts himself in contention again. It'd be great for golf.
I think with Rory, it's just eliminating that one bad round. And I think like he's going to have his good rounds. Rory's going to have two really exceptional rounds. He's probably going to have a solid third. And then it's that fourth round that he's got to get rid of. And so, you know, I don't think it's a lot. You know, I don't think it's a lot with Rory. I think I've dug a lot into the technique and have had a lot of back and forth with some people that are in the know with Rory and what he's working on and this and that. But I don't know. I think Butch was at the right time. I really do. And I'm glad that it happened. And I'm glad that I know it's not like, hey, I need you to put the club here, here, and here, like, you know, Hovland is always doing and trying to do. But it's more about, all right, hey, what's up? You know, tell me, let's talk this through. And let me build you up in what you do well and how that translates to Augusta. Take some of the pressure off. Free will it a little bit instead of shooting 74 in that one bad round. Let's figure out how to shoot 71. And who knows? All right. Enough with that. Okay. Top of the board, Scheffler, of course, 4-1. There's McIlroy, Rahm. Look, Schauffele is going to be there. I have no doubt. Xander's going to be there at 14-1. The question is, can he get it done late on a Sunday? Which he was there, climbing the leaderboard, and oops, hitting the water on 16, as we saw a few years back. Koepka has not been playing good golf. Major championship. He has a way of stepping things up. He's played well here in the past. Matsuyama, we know, is going to get plenty of play. He's been playing well. So interesting top of the board. We touched on McIlroy. We touched on Rahm. For me, the safe play up there would probably be Schauffele. I'm not a big Schauffele guy in closing, in particular in major championships. But, you know, maybe, just maybe the chips fall his way. He would be my second at the top of the board.
What do you think about Brooks switching putters?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I really did. Yeah, went to the mallet, right? Went to the mallet. Yeah.
Well, it's like a mid-sized mallet, but yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just – how about? I mean, I don't care if it was this, another blade putter, but I mean, the fact that he changed shape is even more so, you know, like if people are going to jump off of JT because of the caddy announcement last week, and I'm not saying you are, but I'm saying in general, people are, if that gives people pause, wouldn't it give you a pause with Brooks to look at his scores at Doral and then he comes here and he's got a new putter?
Yeah, I'm off. Yeah, I'm off on Brooks. I don't like what I'm seeing. Pair of 77s to finish at Doral. New putter just seems, I'm not ready for Brooks. Not to say I won't be come PGA, right? But for right now, I'm out.
Yeah, it's a really interesting field. I feel like if there was ever going to be a rookie to win, it could be this year.
Yeah.
It's super set up for Scotty to do well. But you look at some of these guys, like a year ago, like Patrick Cantlay was like 20-1 to win. Now he's like 35. You look at, I mean, where is Morikawa? Where is Hovland? I mean, all of these names. I mean, really, there's the couple guys at the top, the five guys at the top, or maybe I'll include six if you include Hideki. I mean, like after that, you go down in like the 30s and you're like, man, this is like a potpourri of like Wyndham Clark's playing great. And there's no way I would take Cantlay in a head-to-head over him right now, you know, and, you know, Morikawa versus Zalatoris or something like, I mean, geez, oh, flip, you know, like, what are these guys like? It's amazing the cliff that these guys have fallen off in their game. And, you know, so many people here on property, he's probably story number four behind Liv. So I'm going to go Scotty, Rory, Liv, golfers back. Jordan's the story number four at Augusta. Always is, you know, guy moves the needle here like Tiger does. And it's crazy that like, we're supposed to believe that because Jordan like rolls in and Brooks rolls in, new putter or whatever, 77 over the weekend. Is there like some magic dust down Magnolia Lane for Spieth? Where do you stand on Spieth this week?
I like him. Just in time last week, driver solid, iron solid. I mean, all of a sudden he pulls us back in. I mean, Spieth knows how to play here. You know, he can spray it a little off the tee, which his driver has been like, he's nuking his driver. Positive five with the irons last week. You know, look, he scares the daylights out of anybody, right? And what he's going to do. But man, good vibes only coming back to Augusta. I've circled Spieth. I've sprinkled him. I've bet him. I like him.
All right. So, okay. So you'd take Spieth over Hideki. They're right around the same number.
I mean, I like Hideki too. Like, you, look, I think the picture this week with some of the better players feels a little bit clearer than it has in the past. Like, we've talked about how every player has had a weakness, right? And it's hard to wrap your mind around a particular player, even back with Scheffler, right? When he was really struggling with his putter, but dominant tee to green, we've seen the improvement there. And when I say Xander, I say that with the understanding that obviously Scheffler is the guy. Like, we get that. Like, Scheffler is, I mean, understood. No, like, yeah, I mean, Scheffler's the dude. If Scheffler goes out understood. And is plus 2-3 with the putter, forget it, the way he hits it. So
it's over.
Yeah, that's right. So like with that aside and having some fun with our first look, right? I you know, it feels like the vibe are coming in. All right. Maybe I'm a homer. And then you go back to now. Okay. Now we're getting into the board a little bit more and a little bit deeper. And it's like, okay, now I'm going to try to wrap my mind around a guy that just kind of does it all good. And Xander does it all good, guys. I mean, he does it all really good. He's in the green. You can't find a whole lot of red. Now, what Xander doesn't do really good is put it away late on a Sunday. And,
you know, but when you dig into the numbers, he's not that bad on a Sunday.
Yeah, but my eyes tell me, like, when I watch it, I can see the difference. Like, Xander's not a killer. You know, like, he's not Brooks. He lacks that. And I think with that said, like, the tournament has to fall his way a certain way. And maybe this is the week. I'm going to bet Xander. I am. That's a lot for me to say, you know, because you know me. Like, I'm off on Xander. And I said, this is not going to be a great year for him. And I think for all intents and purposes, Xander's skill set, he hasn't won yet. It hasn't been. It's been a while. So, but I see. Let's spend a little time here on Xander, okay? Because I got a couple things I want to say. And you
now,
and
just
I.
Real quick.
You and I. Go ahead.
Was this the thing you wanted to get to that you gave the foreshadowing
no,
earlier?
No, it's not.
Okay. All right. Go on, Xander. All right. I just want to know what I'm waiting for.
I think I see a difference with Xander in the press room. I think Xander is starting to figure it out a little bit. And I didn't like the vibes I was getting from Xander over the last 2 years. I don't think, you know, in the media and the way that I think he straddles the line, PGA Tour Live. I think his dad and the way he manages Xander gets in the way. We've talked about that. And I think Xander, and I don't know this, but it just feels like, okay, maybe some things are a little bit more at arm's length. I hear a little more humility in Xander's voice. I like what I hear, the vibes. His game is in place. And yeah. Okay. So with that said, can he put it away on a Sunday? I think he can. Yeah, I do. I think he can. He's struggled. We've seen it at times late situationally. Maybe the stats don't bear it out as much as what my eyes are telling me situationally.
Yeah.
And so with that said, I'm going to bet Xander at the top of the board with Rory.
All right.
Now, Hideki. Yeah, absolutely. I like Hideki too. I think Hideki comes in here and has a good putting week. There's no doubt. He's doing a lot of it really good. Those tight little lies around the green, they don't scare Hideki. That dude can get it up and down. I mean, he knows how to hit that shot. He showed it in spades.
Number one player on tour around the green right
now. Yeah, I mean, those shots don't scare him. All right, no. So let's continue down the board because this is where this conversation is going to get really interesting. All right, I like speed. You're telling me you don't like speed. I bet speed. All right.
I mean,
Ludvig, he's going to win it. You were on him last week, played well.
He led the field in Valero, strokes gained, tee to green, right? So, I think, I do believe a rookie can win this year. I do not believe someone in their first major championship ever.
Feels like a big test.
At Augusta could win. That to me seems tough. Now, if Ludwig is playing like he's been playing, I think he's a great placement where you're going to get some favorable odds because of the rookie bias. But overall, to ask him to win his first major championship ever at Augusta, tough.
Ludvig has shorter odds than Wyndham Clark, Victor Hovland, Patrick Cantlay, Bryson DeChambeau, Cameron Smith, Dustin Johnson, Will Zalatoris, and Justin Thomas. Wow. That's some great respect for the young Oberg. All right, so those names that I just mentioned, this is where this conversation is fascinating, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And this is what we miss right here. the meat and potatoes we get into guys at 30 to 1, 33, 40 to 1. And I just listed these names. I'm going to say them again, and I want you to drive the ship, all right? Neiman, Clark, Hovland, Cantlay, DeChambeau, Smith, DJ, Willie Z, and I'll stop at JT at 35 to 1. At 40 to 1 in some books for JT.
Yeah. Well, a big reason why all these guys aren't in the 30s is because Scotty's in the 4s, right? So he's lengthening everyone while he's getting shorter, right? In that range, the two guys I'm going to bet are Willie Z and Wyndham Clark.
Okay.
Willie Z, for obvious reasons, if we need to explain that, then you haven't been paying attention to his starts there. The guy gains ridiculous strokes, even with the putter, at Augusta National. Mm-hmm. He's played there twice. He's got a second and a sixth. I think last year when he withdrew, this date was always circled on his calendar as a big comeback spot for him. You know, why do people like Scotty and Will Zalatoris and Tiger play so well at Augusta National Golf Club? And the reason being is that because they rack up greens in regulation. Now, this is the most uneven golf course in the world. And when you can really strike a golf ball, it doesn't matter where the ball sits with relation to your feet. You know this. You've taught people to do this. And everyone practices on a range where it's flat. Probably more often than not, people practice with a mat. These guys flush it so well. That's why they excel at this place. You know, and I think a big reason, like when you look at somebody like DeChambeau, I think his best start was his first start there. But like overall, I've had this theory, like with Bryson using single length irons, doesn't it make it really difficult to play off all of these uneven lies? Not to mention the fact around the green, right? Doesn't that create more of a challenge? And hey, he's this world class player. He's a US Open champion. He's a major champion. But like just those little kind of like tweaks over 72 holes make it very, very difficult. And then, so that's Zalatoris for me. And then Wyndham Clark, I honestly think has a chance to pull off a green jacket.
Wow.
Because
that's a big statement there with Wyndham.
Yeah. Because I mean, who's either he or Scotty or, you know, or Xander, the three best ball strikers consistently, on the PGA Tour. And, he's already won this year. He's contended. He's been in big spots. And, I mean, his game is perfectly tailored to this place. I mean, the power and, you know, the lag putting, the around the green play, LACC would certainly be a comp course for Augusta National. A lot of crossover there, a lot of correlation, and mental strength, you know, and rookies are getting close, man. You know, Zalatoris a second, Sahib ninth. Sam Bennett last year made that run. He fell off the last day, but by, you know, well, yeah, Jonas Blixt, if you want to go there, sure. But like, there's a number of guys that have been teasing the piranha, you know, sticking their finger in that tank and they all get bit, but like one of them's not going to get bit. And I think mental strength is what it's going to need to do it. And Wyndham has shown that he has it. And that's my key for him getting past it. First of all, the game fits there, but around the rest of, you know, all the other guys around that, man, they've got a lot of question marks. Maybe not Fitzpatrick, but I mean, you got a who's who of like, you know, Cantlay, Finau, DJ, JT, Cam Smith, Hovland. I mean, all these guys, you know, I mean, like, I feel like
missed this. Yep.
I mean, if all those guys were sitting in the grill room at Augusta National, I feel like I'd be walking into the cantina scene in Star Wars and be like, what is going on in here, boys? Right. Explain this to me.
Cantlay's a mess. You know, he just has not, he has not played good. You know, Bryson has not boded well here, but Bryson's playing good golf. And Bryson has played very good on LIV. You got to give him his credit. He's four top tens. He looks happy, looks comfortable. He works with Dana Dahlquist, who is now also officially working with Victor Hovland. Victor Hovland, ladies and gentlemen, has now hired his eighth coach since turning pro.
Oh boy.
And so that's, you know, look, I think people are looking at Hovland and they're probably listening to this pod and saying, what is this guy doing? Now, I love Dana. I mean, I think Dana is a great coach. And I honestly think Dana is a very good,
it's a good fit.
It is a good fit. It is a good fit. I sent Dan and I exchanged some texts this morning, and I'm not going to tell you what I told him, but I hope this works out because I think it's a good fit. And so, but Victor, as we've seen, jumps around, and man, I don't like that at all. Guy won three times last year, won the tour championship, and since then has fired two different coaches. And so that just doesn't make any sense to me. But so I think that speaks to a little bit of the fall of Hovland here. His short game now has gone the wrong way. He seems to be working on his swing, and then I'm out. Yeah. But I do think that's going to be a good fit. And maybe they strike gold here this week. But hopefully that'll have some shelf life to it. Let's let this breathe a little bit, right, and build some rapport. I think of that list. Look, I've spent a lot of time thinking through this portion. And I think, you know, he's not front and center, but Niemann has been the best on LIV. He has a win. He's been consistent. Can he bring it in high enough to some of these shelves that we've talked about? I'm not sure, but you talked about the runway that you need here to play well this course. This is his fourth time, and he has steadily gotten better every single time playing here. He gets the invite. I think Niemann is motivated like Rahm. I think Niemann is playing some of the best golf that he's ever played. And so, look, top 20 last time here. It's easy to just scratch him off, overlook him. I'll take Niemann in that crew. I tell you, you mentioned Will.
Can I say something about Niemann real quick?
No.
In the last 5 years,
I don't want you to bring me off my high there. I feel good about it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
He has no career top tens in a major.
I know, but it's a different dude right now. It's a different guy. I think he's progressing into now the next level of play with Niemann. I think I think going to LIV with Niemann. The Mito Pereiras, these kinds of players, those are the kind of guys that get lost in the shuffle, right? Not so much Brooks, not so much Rahm, not so much Bryson, the wholesale names. It's those kinds of guys that get kind of pushed aside in that. But I do think Niemann has become a better player. At least my eyes are telling me that and what I've seen. And we don't have a lot of stats from LIV and this and that, but I do watch LIV some. And I think Niemann is in a really, really good spot right now. And I think ready a young man to take the next step. So in that group, I'm going to sprinkle a little on Niemann. And I think that's probably it for me in that group. I really think, you know, Will, I want to on Will, but my God, -7 with the putter at Houston scares the daylights out of me.
But why?
Scares the daylights.
But wait a second. You're gonna jump on the bandwagon of Joaquin Niemann, who's never had a top 10 in a major.
Yes.
And you're gonna criticize Will Zalatoris, right? Who's played in 10 majors and has 6 top 10s, Travis.
Yeah, but this is the first time here. And like look, I like Will. I do. I'm just trying to look at it objectively, you know, and I think, you know, LIV, you have something against LIV. You can go out and
Wait a second. Whoa.
I'm just kidding.
Well, you're reading into that.
All right.
You just said
Pick Rahm. I'll give you that. You pick Rahm.
I just stated the most objective thing I could. Niemann, top tens in a major. And he's got twice as many major starts as Will. And Will has 6 top tens, and he's got 2 top sixes here. And he's gained with the putter both times. And
I know.
Augusta's proven that it mitigates great putting because it's so difficult. Hideki, Adam Scott. I mean, we go down the list of people that weren't great putters, and they have had great success year in and year out at Augusta National. So, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I get that Niemann's playing great golf. I think that's fantastic. But where's his course history that pushes you, you know, over the top?
You just said 10 minutes ago that you got to play Augusta 3 or 4 times, and that's when things start to come together for you. And now you're trying to sell me on Wyndham Clark, who's never played here. And this is the fourth time that Neiman is going to play here, coming off a top 20 last time and playing his best golf. And now he's got that experience. He's playing the best golf he's ever played. And so I'm going to take the experience of Neiman over Clark.
Okay. I mean, you really want to go here. You really want to go here. You're going to take the
money. No, wait a second. Look, you make valid points. You make valid points on Will. You know I love Will, right?
And okay, so you've gone to Clark now, okay? Right? And you're right. You could come at me the first time, okay? But I'm sorry. Maybe it's a late night travel last night. Something slipped my mind. But I know that Neiman won at Mayakoba. But I'm pretty sure Wyndham Clark has two signature wins and a U.S. Open.
Hey.
In the last year.
Joaquin won in Jedi.
Joaquin won twice. Okay.
Mic drop. Wyndham won Jedi.
Yeah, stop. You need to walk away from Joaquin right now. You can bet him all you want. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, everyone's hyped up on him. And I don't know. I don't know. And if he wins.
All right. So look.
I'm wrong.
Okay. I'll take Neiman. You can pick Clark or Will Zalatoris. Take one. Which one do you want?
Zalatoris.
Okay. You owe me a bottle of wine from this last bet. I won that one.
One stroke, Hodges. I know.
We're going to double or nothing.
Double or nothing. All right. Yeah. I like that.
Okay. I got Neiman.
Zalatoris' record over Neiman. All right. Got it.
This week. Right. Okay. We're in. All right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
All right.
Mark it down.
Moving on.
We got to get to the 50s. We're already at 51 minutes.
Let's go. Take me there. Take me where you want to go because, you know, I'm not going past 50. So.
Oh, no. Yeah. I got one guy in the mid-50s, and there's a bunch of names up there. I feel like if you want to bet one guy and you think that guy's Cam Young or Sahith or Max or, you know, you're really happy with Russell Henley, fourth place, you know, like this is all. I mean, I think up to be responsible as a bettor, I think you could bet one guy up in there to balance out your card because most people are going to have a teens guy and a 20s guy and maybe a 30 and a 40 wherever they go on their card. And let's be honest, like no – unless it's Patrick Reed, nobody at 90-1 is winning this thing. So, you know, like, for me in that last range that we think that people could actually put on a green jacket, the one that catches my eye the most is Shane Lowry. And it's the trend that catches my eye. And the thing is, he's had four straight top 25s there. He loves the place. Very, you know, he's got the skill set. He can hit it far. He's a great iron player. He's a very creative short game player. If the weather gets bad on Thursday and if it gets windy on Friday and Saturday, I like his chances there. But in 2022, when he came in third, he had three straight top 20s in Florida. When he was runner up at the Honda, which is now the Cognizant, he goes to Players. He finishes top 20. He goes to Valspar, finishes top 20. Well, what did he do this year in Florida? Plays three events. He goes fourth at Cognizant. He goes, fourth or third at API, and he goes like 13th at the Players. So, you know, like he's trending coming into this event and, you know, he's already won a major championship. And I thought he won one of the most pressure filled major championships being an Irishman in Ireland for the first time in like 50 or 60 years that they played the Open Championship there. So I feel like he can step up in that range. You know, if it was him and Cam Young in the final group on a Sunday, I feel like Shane's at least been there and could pull it off. So in that range, and that'd be the highest I'm going to go, Shane Lowry, I like.
Yeah. You know, people are going to, they're going to look over Russell Henley. He's got a good track record around here. You know, he'll hang close, first, second page fourth of the leaderboard. Slush. Yeah. Fourth. Yeah. He was fourth. You know, Min Woo's got a top 10 here as well, doesn't he? I think his second one. He was.
Yeah. And a miscut too.
Miscut in a second.
Yeah.
Corey Connors plays well here. We know he can get into the top 10. You start looking at some of these odds. You know, who can win? I would probably bet Patrick, honestly, down here in this range. You know, I would sprinkle a little on Patrick over Corey Connors. I would sprinkle a little on Patrick over Akshay Bhatia, over Minwoo Lee, probably over Russell Henley. Danny McCarthy's in the field, played great last week. He's, where is he at? He's at 90-1. There's Fowler at 100. And then we get into two names that, have won here. Sergio Garcia and Tiger Woods. There's Tiger at 100 and what is it, 25, 150? I think four good rounds for Tiger, right? Who plays better, Tiger or Phil?
Oh.
No.
They're like the if you look across all the boards, they're like the only two guys you can get plus money on to make the cut, right? Everybody else, because it's such a small field and they don't make or miss the cut to, you know, Jose Maria Thabo, you know, that sort of thing. So like so it's tough for me there. And when I did the Golf Digest rankings, is like they both have the same floor and they both have basically the same ceiling in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, I get that Phil was second there last year, but I think they both make the cut and I think they both would be in a good position. You know, I think from our perspective, if they finish top 40, that they've done a good job.
Yeah.
At this stage in their careers. So, I mean, Tiger hasn't played a four round tournament since the 2023 Genesis.
Right. I know.
So
just play four rounds, come off the course of fourth round and you're still feeling good about it, your body, et cetera. I mean, that's what we're
at. What's he's in position to break couples and players record for the most cuts in a row.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So like, you know, that'll be motivating him or whatever. You know, a lot of people are talking about he didn't play players, so maybe he's not as healthy as we think he is and blah, blah, blah. And like, I was like, when did Tiger ever do what we wanted him to do? Like,
yeah,
never. Right. So I don't put a lot of stock into that, but, geez. I mean, I'm more of a Tiger fan than a Phil fan. So if you made me gun to my head answer that question, I say Tiger, but I think their floor and their ceiling are the same thing this year and just, you know, enjoy Tuesday's dinner.
You know, we talked about Neiman and he's progressing and getting in with his game and playing great golf. I'll finish with this as we get down to the odds. I think the last one I'm going to bet is Thegala. You know, I think he is really elevating his game. He is a guy that I think we're going to start seeing contend. I like his game here at Augusta. He was ninth here last year. We saw him at the Players top 10. Arnold Palmer before that, he was sixth, which is a great field. Kind of lost his putter a little bit at Houston where he was 28th. But I tell you, his driver, a tremendous growth here with the driver. Look, Sahith Thegala here, folks, is driving the ball as well as I've seen him. And his iron game, trending nicely. I don't worry about a short game in putting. And I think that's been a little off there at Houston, which I'm going to look past. I'll finish the show with a bit of a long shot in Thegala to put on a green jacket. How cool would that be? Would that be? He's not going to do it because Rory's going to get it. But outside of that, I want Sahith to win.
All right, you've been like you're like a Fox reality TV show. You've been talking about this thing the whole time. You're going to make you're angry or you're going to make some point about like what you haven't spilled the beans.
Oh, I know it's Hovland. You know it's Hovland with me, man. The guy just drives me nuts.
Oh.
He drives me nuts. Okay. All this bouncing around. Like, I just don't get it. World-class player, genius. And it's just – now, that said, I'm glad – I hope he settles in with Dana because I think they'd be a really, really good pair. I think they would do some good things together. So I hope that works.
I like Dana as a coach, so I wish them both well. I do.
Keith, you are the man. Thank you for taking the time. Hey, enjoy Augusta. And take some pictures of, you know, pimento cheese sandwiches, send them over to me. And then I'll text you my address to ship those two bottles of wine after on Monday.
Oh, well, you know, what was it? Willie Z and Neiman. All right.
Yep. Joaquin Neiman over Willie Z. That's hard for me to say, but we gave Liv a little love. I like that. You got on Rom. We talked about Neiman, you know, I think, all due.
Talked about Liv Miami and Doral.
Love Miami, Jedi, big tournament.
Jeddah.
Or whatever, Jedi.
All right, get out of here.
Stewart, at Read the Line. Go follow him.
I'm going to Magnolia Lane. See ya.